There is a God. He is alive. And he's a good God, isn't he? Yes, indeed. God has been exceedingly good to all of us, whether we recognize it or not. He woke you up this morning, got you here safely, and now we are engaged in worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Is that all right?
All right.
Our worship started as soon as he woke us up. Amen. Somebody sort of said, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
As soon as your eyes opened up this morning, as soon as you saw the day breaking outside and you still had breath in your body and life in your limbs, you were able to say, thank you, God, for blessing me with another day.
Amen.
How y'all doing this morning?
All right.
It's good to see you in the house of God today. If you're visiting with us today, we just welcome you as our honored guest, and we are just grateful for your presence here this morning. If you're visiting here from one of our sister congregations, of course, you know you're always welcome. And of course, East Baltimore, we always are happy to see all of you. The rest of the world seems to be fixated on this particular Sunday, but we know that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord every Sunday. Is that all right? But if you want a so-called Easter message, all I got for you is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's all we got for you, is the gospel. And we give it to you. We celebrate Jesus every first day of the week. Is that all right? So if you were looking for some palms last Sunday, I'm sorry. If you were looking for some resurrection service, well, you can come any Sunday you want to and get that. Amen, somebody. Our God is alive. In him we live and we survive. And again, we're so grateful for all those who have labored in the services thus far. And we want to keep the Stevens and Harris family in our prayers for the passing of their father, Sister Kiva and Sister Kim. They lost their dad. And we just want to pray for those families, pray for their comfort, and pray that the Lord will just touch their hearts today, for we know they're heavy in the loss of their loved one.
Yes.
And all those who are just dealing with different things, you know, holidays come and go, and on those days we tend to think about those who are dear to us, who are no longer with us, and we just want to give our love and our support to all those who during these times of the year when folks are gathering together and there's that missing place at the table, that they'll have the comfort and the consolation that they need in times such as this. Amen. Now, I got a slightly interactive message today, so I'm going to need some volunteers. Now, you don't need to say anything. I just need you to do something. Is that all right? So when the time comes, I need four people, and I need you to come up here, all right? I'm not going to put you on display. Just going to take a minute or two. If you do it right, it won't take but a couple of minutes, and then we'll be done. Is that all right?
All right.
Now, this text that we're looking at this morning is a familiar one. It's one that you've read and heard preached many, many times. And I'm not putting any more of a spin on it than anyone else has, but it's just my spin. Is that all right? So we're in Matthew chapter 7, and I know we at 8 o'clock, y'all read. So we're going to read together. We're in the King James, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Let's start reading together. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Is that in your Bible? Jesus here is preaching and teaching. And during the course of his message, he espouses on two walks of life or two ways of life for the individual. Now, these passages don't speak specifically to the person. They speak to the path, the walk, the way that you're undertaking. Church, where are we going as a people today? Where is mankind headed for in today's world? What direction are we going? What path are we on? What road are we taking? Do we know the way, or have we lost our way? Have we wandered off the path or driving headlong down a path leading to destruction? Our fates are tied to that path. Our future lies somewhere down the path of choice and convenience. And for the uncaring, the unknowing, the unrepentant, the unforgiving, the unrighteous, and the indignant, their fate is imminent. Jesus says destruction lies at the end of life's path if you choose to enter in at the gate that's broad and wide. And he contends that many of us will choose to enter in. Now, this gate is not designed to keep you out. It's there to let you in. It's a point of entry. See, a gated community is not so much a community that chooses to keep people out. It provides an entrance, and the walls or fencing that surrounds it holds and secures and contains the people who come in. You see, visitors aren't welcome in the wide gate because the expectation is that whoever comes in is going to stay. If you're going in, you're going to stay. That's why the gate is wide. See, it's not so much inviting as it is accessible. My friends, sin is just as accessible as salvation. But the ends thereof are totally different. The Bible says in James 1, 14 and 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This death is eternal and everlasting separation from God. We have a choice of paths, but what we do not have is the convenience of simply refusing to choose. See, life doesn't offer us a neutral position. We can either choose life with Jesus or death without him. But if we choose life with Jesus, he says this gate is straight, and this path, this way, is narrow. Over in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Even then, the people rejected the old ways, the old path, and desired to go in a different direction. And this generation's no different. The straight and narrow and the broad and wide are in direct opposition to each other. Amen, somebody. See, choice and convenience are more comfortable and compatible than commitment and contentment. The old ways are too rigid, too restrictive, or they're no longer relevant. We question authority. We challenge truth. We scoff at tradition. And we dispute the indisputable and choose the emotional rather than the eternal. In Deuteronomy 5, 32 and 33, God's people were commanded, ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. And over there in the New Testament, in the second epistle of John, he says there in the second epistle of John, verses 6 and following, he reminds us there, verse 6 and following, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. My friends, to have the Father and the Son, we have to choose him. To obey the Father and the Son, we have to walk after his commandments. But to walk after his commandments, we have to choose to walk the path. Amen. We have to choose to enter in at the straight gate and walk the narrow way. And this brings us to the title of my sermon. Is that all right? The straw and the fishbowl. The straw and the fishbowl. Now, I had another title for it, but that's all right. Now, I need my volunteers. We're going to have a little demonstration here. And you'll forgive me if this is not something that y'all normally do. It's not something I normally do. But see, sometimes you need a demonstration so we can help folk understand how things work. Now, what I need here, I wish I had a sister. What's one sister that would come up here? You know why? Because we need to understand when we go down that straight and narrow gate, it's not just reserved to gender. Is that all right? I need one brave sister. Just come on up here. One of y'all sit on down and let one of these sisters come. Again, we want you to know that. We want you to understand something. Y'all act like y'all won't be up here with the sister. Come up here, sis. Come here, sis. Come here, darling. I want you right here, and you right here, and you on the end. Is that because I want everybody to see y'all, because there's a point to this. We're talking about the broad and wide versus the straight and narrow. Now, this gate, this is our fishbowl. Look at the entrance. Look at the opening. This gate is broad and is wide. It allows complete access. There's no struggling here, as you'll see in a second. It's wide enough for anything that you want to put in it. to enter in. Is that all right? Now, I got these cups right here. Now, these cups represent your life. Now, you say that's a pretty small cup. But you check out James 4 and 14. It says, what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanish away. See, in the cavern of life's canopy, we just cups. We're just vessels.
Amen.
Amen. And when we make, now I got this water here, and I'm not going to pour it on nobody. Let me help you out here. We'll pour this water in here. Rub your hands shaking, so you don't be upset, though. Here we go. Now, this water, now remember, your cup is your life, right?
Yes.
Now, this water here represents your life's choices, your life's decisions, your life's direction. We make choices every day, and sometimes we make them as a group. Sometimes we follow the trends. We follow the fads. We follow what's popular. Everybody's doing it, so it must be all right. And so we go down this broad and wide gate that Jesus says leads to destruction because we're just following the group. And the gate is wide enough and broad enough for all of you to enter in at one time.
Right.
See, this group, and you know I like acrostics. These are the greedy, the raucous, the overbearing, the unrepentant people, if y'all like acrostics. That's the group. Those are the people we follow sometimes. And those folk are heading down a broad and wide gate that leads to destruction. And here's the thing. When we do it as a group, see, the gate is broad and wide enough for everybody to go in at one time. Pour y'all water in there. Pour it in there at one time. Look at that. Okay, y'all can sit down now. The gate was broad and wide enough for everybody to go in together. You can go in to destruction, and you have to go by yourself. Most of us make our decisions based on what everybody else is doing. We do what's popular. We do what's convenient. We do the things that won't buck the system. But when you decide you want to follow Jesus, he says that way, that gate, is straight and it's narrow. This is our straw. Don't mess with me. It's a big gulp straw. Now, I could have called this sermon the flute and the fishbowl. See, the flute is a long, cylindrical object. But we're going to call it a straw because that's how I like it. Now, when we decide to go down the straight and narrow path, see, we got to go down it for ourselves. We got to go down it by ourselves. See, this straight and narrow path, see, there's not enough room for the group. You got to make this decision all by yourself. And when you make that decision to go down that straight and narrow path, see, it's not as easy when the whole group is pouring their life choices in that straight, that broad and wide gate together. Now, you can do it by yourself, but most of us, and again, this is the point of Jesus' parable. He says it's broad and it's wide. Why? Because a whole lot of folk will choose to enter in. But when you decide to go in the straight and the narrow, it's a disciplined path. It's straight and it's narrow. Y'all see that? Now, y'all gonna mess with me. You said, Brother Bill, that ain't no straw. Well, I got one. How'd you like to go through here? It's straight and it's narrow. Amen? And sometimes when we decide we're going to follow Jesus, sometimes it's a difficult decision. See, the group ain't going to follow you. See, the family might not follow you. The friends might not follow you. They might talk about you. They might persecute you. They might tease you and taunt you and tell you you're being a fool. But when you decide and make up your mind that you're going to walk down that straight and narrow path. Now, when I poured this in here, poured it in there pretty easily. See, and if I try to pour this in here, we might have a problem on the floor. We might have to call for the vacuum or something. But see, when we think about Romans 12, 1 and 2, see, our lives can't be conformed to the world. It has to be transformed, right? But sometimes our lives have to conform to the image of Christ. Am I right about it? And see, when our lives conform, see, when we let Jesus work on us, when we decide we're going to go down that straight and narrow path and we allow Jesus to work on us, see, our lives conform to him. Amen, somebody. So now we're walking down, we're going down that straight and narrow path, and guess what? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Help me now. Help me, somebody. Hands are shaking. Oh, Lord. But see, look, it'll go down there. It'll go in there. It will go in. It's a straight and narrow path. It's a disciplined path. But guess what? We're conforming our lives to Christ. And when we conform our lives to Christ, it makes it easier for us to make that decision to go down the straight and the narrow. Our lives have to be transformed so that we can conform to that path that we're undertaking. See, the problem with the broad and wide is that all kinds of decisions are in here. Decisions about our lifestyle, decisions about our careers, decisions about who we hang with, who we running with, how we talk, our manner of speech, our character, our personality, all those things, all those choices. Some of us are Jekyll and Hyde. We one way on Sunday. Help me, somebody. And the rest of the week, See, we make a choice every day to go down the broad and the wide. Jesus says it leads to destruction. But we want to take the disciplined path, the path that, yes, is difficult, but if you'll conform your life to Jesus, you can walk down that straight and narrow way. I'm almost done. The world will try to convince you that you don't have to change. You don't have to bend. You don't have to submit. You don't have to commit. You can go in however you want and whatever way you want, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We need to conform to his will, his word, and his way, that we can be transformed through the renewing of our minds, that we may prove that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And let me just say this about that. You have to do that every day. Every day. The reason this gate is so narrow is because there's no room for indecision. Once you decide to go down, it's narrow. Not a whole lot of wiggle room there. But that broad and wide, room for everything and anything that you want. But when you choose Jesus, you're walking, you're choosing to walk that straight and narrow way. Is that all right? Let me close with this. You're on your job, and you haven't been the best employee. You've missed work intentionally, several times, play around on the job instead of performing your duties, talk back to the boss. You're not respectful to the workplace or the people, and you feel like it's all right. It's no big deal. And then one day, the big boss, the head man, the CEO, the chairman of the board, the man in charge comes to you. And he says, you have two choices. You can be fired or you can resign. Now, if you're fired, the boss puts you out. But if you resign, you make a choice to leave on your own. My friends, if we refuse to resign ourselves to the word, the will, and the way of God, one day we're going to face the fire. Avoid the termination. Tender your resignation, and you'll receive affirmation and justification in the eyes of Almighty God, but only if you're choosing to walk the straight and the narrow. Now, notice Brother Veal never said it was easy. It's a disciplined path. Anybody here been in the military? Went through boot camp? Whew. Those drill sergeants were getting you to conform to the way and the manner of how they do things. It's a disciplined path. Things are done in a timely fashion, in a timely manner, and it's done a specific kind of way. When we decide to follow Jesus, to be a disciple, we have to become disciplined. We're going to follow and to emulate the ways of the teacher. If you decide today that you want to choose Jesus, it's going to be the best decision that you've ever made. But it's not going to be easy to walk the path. Anyone who tells you that is lying.
Right.
It's not easy. But if you choose to go down the straight and narrow, Jesus is with you. And guess what? His word already says it leads to life. But here's the other scary piece. He says, few there be that find it. Avoid determination. Tender your resignation so you can receive that affirmation in the eyes of Almighty God. Walk the straight and the narrow. And if you're here and you want to walk the straight and the narrow, you say, well, Brother Veal, how do I do that? It sounds hard. It's not hard at all. You've already heard the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world. All he wants you to do is to hear that word and believe it. Come to him believing that he came into this world for you and for me to give us salvation as only he can provide, because we can't save ourselves. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
He wants us to repent of our sins, which is why he came into the world. We were some broke down, dirty, messed up folk. We were part of the group, weren't we? We were greedy and raucous and overbearing and unrepentant people. But then Jesus came into our lives, said, walk that straight and narrow, repent of your sins, and confess me as Lord, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. You go down in that watery grave of baptism, you rise up out of that water, a new creature in Jesus Christ, and now you're ready to walk the straight and narrow way. And no one said it would be easy, but it's a disciplined path. That's why discipleship is so important. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
All of us in here, I don't care who you are, from the preacher on down, I got one. I have a disciple. I have a discipler. And I'm a disciplee. Did y'all know that? Somebody telling me what to do, how to stay on the path. And each and every one of us need one as well. We need someone to help keep us steady so we can avoid that broad and wide and go down that straight and narrow. We all need that kind of help. And as you become a stronger disciple, now you're ready to go out into the world and help others to learn how to transform their lives. Stop going down that broad and wide gate that leads to destruction. Get on the straight and narrow way that leads to life. If Jesus has said, only few going to find it, we're at least obligated to go out and find the few. Amen, somebody. Because some of us in here ain't going to make it if we're honest. Amen, somebody. So let's be part of the few. But let's go out to the many and find the few who are trying to find their way down the straight. And then now, if you're here and this is what you want, it's available to you right now. Won't you come as we together stand and sing the song of invitation? Will you come right now?
What can wash away my sin?